Some of you may not know me. Others may feel you know me only too well. The truth is, I have a close attachment to both St. Andrew's and St. Dunstan's. I started out doing a student internship at St. Andrew's and then became the curate there. Pauline Harris and Stuart Henderson and others were part of the wonderful team who helped teach me what it means to be a parish priest. From St. Andrew's, I went on to serve as pastor at St. Dunstan's, prior to David and, of course, Helen in her interim ministry. So to have the opportunity to talk to both my church families at the same time is a wonderful thing, and I want to thank Andrew and David for the opportunity. One of the challenges in trying to interpret the scriptures is recognizing that all our Bibles are translations from another language, mainly Hebrew or Greek, which means that what we read is already someone's interpretation of what the original writer meant. The first part of today's Gospel is actually my own translation from the original Greek. I did it as part of a paper I wrote when I was at seminary with Andrew and David. Yes, with Andrew and David, I do have stories to tell, but there's no way I'm going to share them unless you make a substantial offering to your parish coffers. If that sounds like extortion, yep, it is. The reason I chose this particular passage for my paper is because, quite frankly, in all the Gospels, this is the one that I have the most difficulty with. Full disclosure here, when John describes Jesus saying, "No one comes to the Father if not through me," I just can't go along with him on that. As our previous bishop, Michael Ingham, wrote in his book, Mansions of the Spirit, the notion that a billion souls have gone down to the torment of hellfire without even hearing of Jesus Christ is not only repugnant and abhorrent, it also implies a God who is repugnant and abhorrent. That God should actually condemn everyone who is not joined to the church to an eternity of everlasting fire defies all moral sense and contradicts everything we know about God, both from the witness of Scripture and from the life of Jesus. As Bishop Michael explains, John's community reacted to the acute threat from outside by making its own conviction absolute. The statements which thus arose are to be interpreted as a reaction to a quite specific challenge and not as universal judgments on the religions of the world. You can't tell me there aren't Jews or Muslims, Sikhs or Buddhists who have at least as strong a relationship with a higher power as I do, trying to be a Christian. I will categorically claim that Christianity is a path that works best for me, because above all it emphasizes the humanity of the relationship with the higher power. That God came to us in human form is the strongest possible expression of solidarity and of relationship. And so as a result, I perceive more emphasis on mercy and forgiveness, and above all, on love. But to go from there to say it's the only path, I'm sorry, I can't go there. But that's not actually what I wanted to talk about today.
Sheesh, Martha, why did he go on so long about it then?
What I really want to talk about is the beginning of the reading. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many places to stay. Now, most often, ministers get to preach about this passage at funerals. There is something immensely reassuring and hopeful about this message, I've noticed, when a loved one has moved on from their earthly presence. Especially among people who have no religious background, which is interesting. But it occurs to me that there is just as important a message for the living. In my Father's house, there are many places to stay. Because the fact is, we're all living it, right now. The fact is, there are probably 80 or 90 people online on Sunday morning, and many others are listening to this sermon on audio. And we're all in God's house at this moment in time, yet we all have different places to stay. Each one of us is worshipping God in our own place. And I wonder if that causes us to think about church a little differently. Remember, the biblical word ecclesia actually means gathering, which is what we are doing, even though we're not in the same building. You know, much of what I've been doing since I retired is filling in around the diocese in different parishes. And I'll be blunt. Some of those parishes are actually dead. Their numbers are too small to be a viable community, and it sometimes seems their purpose is to provide a last bastion of tradition in a world that is changing at a dizzying speed. Now, of course, this whole Easter season is about the fact that after death there is resurrection, but it is a resurrection to a different form. But I find several of these parishes identify church with the building they go to on Sunday, and honestly, they don't seem willing to let go of that. So much so that in my more obnoxious moments, I've been known to say, some Anglicans don't worship Christ as much as they seem to worship their buildings. But this morning, we are a living proof that church is not just a building. In my Father's house, there are many places to stay. Now, don't get me wrong, I've been blessed to serve in some of the most beautiful buildings humans have consecrated to God. I spent part of my childhood in Canterbury Cathedral, and especially getting to serve in St. Dunstan's was a blessing beyond measure. The new church building that rose out of the ashes of the fire of the old one, a project led by Beverly and so many others, is nothing short of inspiring. You can't help but be aware of the presence of God in such a beautiful place. But I want to suggest this morning that that's a bonus. The building is not the heart of the church. The heart of the church is here among us, today, in many different places. It turns out, as the writer of the first epistle of Peter explains, the cornerstone of the church is a living stone. It's a person. The bottom line is, the church is us. But that's not to gloss over the fact that these are indeed very difficult times right now. We're learning that there are forces of nature that we can't control, and that is very scary. It's hard in different ways for all of us. But I was reminded the other day how lucky I am. My friend's father is dying a long way away, and she can't even go to be with him. But remember, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And even today's psalmist repeats over and over again, "God is our refuge." And surely that is our prayer, that God continues to be our refuge wherever we may happen to be. And let's face it, for most of us, our homes are our refuge, the place we're staying in order to be safe. But please let us keep praying for the many people, mainly women and children, whose homes are not a refuge. But yes, for most of us, our homes are our refuge. And what we're reminded today is that God is with us in our homes, in our refuges, and indeed that God is the refuge we can always turn to when we don't feel safe. When I did this translation a few years ago, I deliberately chose the expression places to stay, as opposed to the NRSV's translation, dwelling places, or especially the King James Version's mansions. The Greek word monai conveys a sense of remaining or staying, a concept of stopping on a journey. In other words, Jesus is talking not only about places in a spatial sense, but I think he's also talking about places in time. Where we are right now, however different, is a particular place to stay in our life's faith journey. And we may well understand that journey differently going forward, as our neighbor really is helping neighbor, and as we are starting to understand who the most important people in society really are. After all, as Dr. Bonnie Henry says, this is not forever, this is for now. So I wonder if we can embrace this new way of being church, which of course is actually the original way. I wonder if, as we worship together in our own homes, we can find new ways to welcome God into our lives, because we have proven that God isn't just to be found in a church on Sunday, but is present with us in our personal lives, in our personal places. And for now, can we live out God's love as she speaks to us in the words of Dr. Henry? Be kind, be calm, and be safe.